I'd like to read in the book of Daniel, chapter 5 tonight. Daniel, chapter 5. And we'll just come to the end of what has happened here. We'll perhaps explain it later, but in verse number 22, Daniel the prophet has been called in, and he is giving a message to a man who has lived without God, who has had no time for anything spiritual, who has actually played fast and loose with his soul, with his God, and with his knowledge of salvation. Daniel chapter 5, verse 22, And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines, have drunk wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Now, back to the book of Job, chapter 19. The book of Job, just before the book of Psalms, Job 19. Passage we read earlier in this series, but I'd like to read it again tonight. Job chapter 19, the words of Job, verse 21. Have pity upon me, have pity upon me, O ye my friends, for the hand of God hath touched me. The book of Psalms, Psalm 22, for a third reading, Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, and from the words of my roaring? Verse number 16, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet. A further reading in the book of Romans, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And just the final verse, verse number 21, Romans chapter 10, verse 21. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. One final verse in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse number 31. Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What we have done tonight, and I trust that God will just give us help to explain it simply and clearly, what we have done tonight is taken a panoramic view of the activities that are linked with the hand of God. When we think of someone who's exercised or who's moving with his hands, we find that there is involvement. We speak in our generation about something that's hands-on. That means that you're not just sitting there watching it. You can actually sit down at the desk and you can put your hands on that computer and you can work it. You can punch the keyboard and you can produce whatever you want. There are all kinds of activities tonight that are hands-on. And what we have read tonight concerns the fact that our God is dealing in the affairs of mankind, in the affairs of this world, and is spoken of as the hand of God. He is not a God who has turned away from His creation in frustration. He knows exactly what is happening. Sin did not take Him by surprise. Mind you, could I explain very simply that when God made man, He made him by His hands. He was a wonderful sculptor, a creator, a worker with clay. And as the hand of God and the fingers of God moved, man was formed. And the Bible says, God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What a wonderful day when a man stood up, fresh from the hand of God, made in His very likeness, to enjoy His presence. But you will understand as you read God's Word in Genesis chapter 3, that one of the darkest days that ever occurred happened. That same creature, that man had been called from the hand of God, that had been given a mind that could understand who his God was. He had been given a heart that could respond to him. And however long between Genesis 1 and Genesis 3, I'm not sure. But there were days, no doubt in weeks and possibly months, and who knows how long, when Adam and Eve, our first parents, enjoyed the company of God and enjoyed fellowship with Him. Nothing between. No fear. No hiding. No running. They enjoyed speaking with their God. But Genesis chapter 3 tells us of a very, very dark day. A day when our first parents made a choice. Because God had made them with a will that was able to make choices. And our first parents, hearing the suggestions of the enemy, comparing that to what they knew about God, decided that it would be far better to go this way rather than respond to God in obedience. They had somehow been convinced in their mind that they were being shortchanged. And a moment came when they turned away from the hand of God and from His words. And sin enters. And sin has been among us ever since, touching every single life, marring and marking. And with sin has come death. And with sin has come pain. And with sin has come darkness. And with sin has come condemnation and guilt. And yet, in that same world, sin did not take God by surprise, but in that same world, the hand of God has been seen. God is actively involved in the affairs of history, and God is actively involved in the lives of every single individual here tonight. Now, we have read tonight in Daniel chapter 5 about the hand of God controlling. I'm not sure where you're coming from tonight, spiritually speaking. But Daniel chapter 5 tells us about a man by the name of Belshazzar, and he could well have lived in Vancouver. There are plenty of Belshazzars around, but the spirit of Belshazzar lives on. Because here's a man, and wonderfully, God had linked his life with the gospel. God had wonderfully linked his life with the evidence of God's grace. And this man's grandfather had been dealt with by God, brought to a place where he acknowledged that the Lord God is the God of heaven, and he bowed before him. Saved by the grace of God, to use New Testament language. And the hand of God began to move in that family. And a son was born, and then a grandson. The grandson's name, Belshazzar. And in time, that man became the chief ruler of that nation. One of the most powerful nations of the earth. And yet, despite all that God had done for that man, despite all the truth that he knew, despite all the evidence of God's grace that had been experienced by that family, here's a man. And willfully, he turned away from God. And a moment came in Daniel chapter 5 where he prepared a great feast, a great festival banquet. And if that wasn't enough just to indulge in his own sin, he brought that which belonged to the temple of God, and he desecrated it. And he praised the gods of gold and of silver and of wood and of stone, until finally the hand of God began to write, the finger of a man's hand began to write on the plaster of the wall, and a party came to a stop. What we have read is the prophet's words, the summation of what the prophet said to this man. He says, Belshazzar, you have known all of this. You have not glorified God. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, thou hast not glorified. I wonder tonight if you have ever stopped to understand and face the tremendous truth of Daniel chapter 5. That our very breath is in his hands. You see, he is the one who has made us. The Bible says he is the one who is sustaining all things. And yet, tragically, most people go about their business and go through a life and go through a week and they hardly have a thought about God. Never acknowledge him. And they take one breath after another without ever stopping to consider that our very breath is in his hand. He is the originator of our breath. He is the sustainer of our breath. He is the supplier of our breath. And ever since we got up and right through the hours of the night, we have been receiving one breath after another. Do I have to make it any more plain just to tell you that here's one? Here's another one. Here's another one. Here's another one. The God in whose hand thy breath is. God willingly has given us our lives. He has given us this day. But I trust there might be none that would presume on receiving further breaths from God in view of the fact that, tragically, you have not glorified him. You have been receiving all from God. And yet, tragically, there has been no response to him. No acknowledgement. No bowing of the knee. No bowing of the will. No recognition of his goodness and of his kindness. No acceptance of his grace. This man steps across the boundary, steps across that awful line, And God brings his life to an abrupt halt. And a man goes out to meet God. Because you see, the hand of God controls. And none of us dare presume on being here tomorrow. I recall one of the times that God spoke to me. We were at a party. And the phone rang. And we received the news of a relative of mine who was coming home on a Sunday night from a hockey game. In a little patch of black ice. And before that man with his wife and a young family behind him could do anything about it, that car had flipped around right into the advance of a tractor trailer. Just one flip, and that relative of mine had gone out into eternity. And I want to tell you, when that phone call came and the news reached our ears, the party came to an abrupt halt. God has spoken. And we became aware that the God in whose hand our breath is had drawn very near. I wonder, have you ever acknowledged that the God that you're dealing with is the God that holds your breath in his hand? It's not the doctor that's going to keep your life going. It's the hand of God. It's not medical science. It's the hand of God. Controls. Well, we've read in Job chapter 19 about the hand of God convicting. And our prayer to God tonight is that the hand of God might be seen in conviction. It moves us as we see people coming and going from these meetings, and they seem to be so unmoved. They're hearing words that could bring them into the greatest of all blessings. We are crying to God that the hand of God would touch you as it has touched us. Because unless God stops you, and unless, friend, you understand that God has done all that he can to make you aware of your need, you are just going to continue on through life and you are going to lose your soul. Here's a man in Job 19. And he has to admit, the hand of God has touched me. Something happened. Life was altered. A man was brought to a halt. And he realized, I am dealing with God for eternity. It's been said that God whispers in our pleasures. And very few hear. God speaks to us in the circumstance and events of everyday life. And very few hear. God roars to us in our pain. And sometimes a man calls a halt when the hand of God touches him. There's a middle-aged man in Newfoundland that is a believer. He's a Christian. But I might as well just tell you honestly that he wasn't living like a Christian. He was drifting. He was more interested in making money than going on for God. And exactly what I described with my relative happened to him, only not as final. Driving to work, a bit of slush on the road, right side of the road, brand new truck. Suddenly, the headlights of another vehicle right ahead of him. And this man landed in the hospital unconscious. Dozens of stitches across his scalp. Leg broken in multiple places. And as I talked to him later, he said, Marv, I was convinced of one thing. It was the hand of God in my life, and I'm thankful he stopped me. God deals with his own people. But tonight, God desires to deal with you as well, that you might be stopped in your course. because there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You're starting another week tonight, today. You have everything planned, don't you? School, business, pleasure. You might even have things planned for next weekend. God says there is a way that seems right to a man. This week seems to be picture perfect. Everything will work out. But the end thereof are the ways of death. And because of God's omniscience, because He knows all, because He knows the course that you're on is the wrong course, that leads to endless night, He steps in at times and He touches individual lives. He brings conviction in a variety of ways. Because, friend, apart from understanding your need and calling a halt, there will be no salvation. And you'll just continue on. Here's Job, and he felt the hand of God. Have pity upon me, for the hand of God hath touched me. Could I tell you what is truly in the heart of God tonight? We find it in the experience of Israel. Israel, that nation that was so blessed by God. Could I bring that picture into this meeting tonight? I'm speaking to an audience and to a city that is wondrously blessed of God. And the hand of God was extended to that nation. So favored. Just a tiny group of people. And yet God's eye was upon them. And yet, as this entire world has done, that nation turned away from God. God says, disobedient, gainsaying, wouldn't have any of God's instruction. And He says, all day long have I stretched out my hand to this nation. You know, that's exactly a picture of the God of salvation. The God of salvation tonight to this audience is the God of the outstretched arms. He's the God that is drawn alongside of us. He has provided a Savior at infinite cost to Him. And He came with outstretched arms, extended to every single individual, and He could say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The Bible says His arm is not shortened, that it cannot save. And as He outstretches His arms to seek to deliver and save, there's not one that He ever passes by. Some of you have likely heard of the event that happened in Niagara Falls or in the Niagara River just a number of years ago. If you've ever gone to the IMAX theater, you'll see that film of that dramatic event and the dramatic rescue. That Niagara River, which at some of its fastest points is traveling at 31 miles per hour, but upstream, it's much slower, and there was an uncle with a couple of his, a nephew and a niece that had gone out for just a little afternoon cruise. Something went wrong mechanically. I think it was the propeller that sheared off the shaft. And as they just kind of felt the drift of that Niagara River, just to give the kids a little sense of how powerful it is, the uncle said, I guess it's time to head back and pull the motor. It started, but nothing happened. And to his horror, he discovered that the propeller shaft was gone. He did whatever he could, but it was all in vain. And as that little rowboat with a little motor on it, little Johnson motor on it, began to head down that increasingly fast river, it wasn't long before uncle and nephew and niece found themselves hurled into the water. And they were heading for the falls. That girl somehow made it over to one side of the river. By this time, spectators were aware of their dilemma. And very quickly there was a couple of people that sized the situation up. And they realized that this girl, if she could make it, would come alongside of the outermost part of that Niagara Falls drop. And before she went over that falls, there was a chance. If they could get there and stretch far enough, that they might have a chance to get her. There was a policeman. And he quickly got whoever he could to hold on to him. And that man stretched out as far as he could go. Timed it perfectly. And as that girl screaming came around that final bend, that policeman reached down and was able to grab a hold of her life preserver. And with help of others, he was able to bring her in. Barely saved. Almost lost. But thank God she was rescued. Tonight, friend, that is the picture of your life. You're heading for the awful falls of eternity. And yet, thank God, there's a Savior, and His arm is outstretched to you. And He doesn't miss one, not one. He's the mighty one to save. I wonder, will you look away to Him tonight? Will you be willing to trust Him? Because when we come to Psalm 22, we find that here were hands that were crucified. And tonight, there's a man in heaven. And when we see his hands, and some of us are going to see his hands, we're going to see that wondrous person. We're going to see marks in those hands. Hands that formed this world. Hands that put the stars in their orbits. Hands that touched a leper and made him whole. Hands that stopped the coffin and raised a young lad back to life again. Hands that brought blessing. Yet there was a day, a moment, when he stood as a lamb before her shears. When he was led to dark Calvary. When he extended his arms and extended his hands. And he allowed men that hated him to pierce his hands and his feet. Why was he there? He was there as the bearer of sin. He was there as our substitute. He was there to answer to the charges that were to us. And tonight, there are those in this meeting, and we look forward to that moment when we will look upon those hands, still marked by the evidence of Calvary. And we will sing of the man, of the one who loved us, who gave himself for us. And the proof is still there. The price has been paid. The work has been accomplished. That sacrifice has been accepted. And tonight there's a warm welcome that awaits you. Outstretched arms. Would you come to Him tonight? He desires that none would perish. Oh, friend, don't miss Him. Because the Bible says it's a fearful thing. It's a fearful thing to fall.